Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel. Links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Peace, God, let's go home. No, praise God. I thank y'all for honoring us today. It does mean everything because I guarantee you what, there's times in this road in life that we would just as soon go be at church somewhere, not pastoring church somewhere. And I'll never quit serving Jesus, but, you know, I actually figured it wrong this morning. 22 years we've been pastor here. 25 years have been employees of the church. Jennifer, how old were you when you came to youth group the first time? What were you, a freshman, younger? 15? And there she's 15. Now she's got a family up here on the stage. I'm too old. It's too long. I don't know. I feel like I should resign this morning. The reality hits me of 22 years. Holy cow. It seems like it was yesterday. You know? But my gosh, it's long. I've wore out a lot of vehicles between now and then. Anyway, something I want to tell y'all this morning. Thank y'all for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your cards, your letters. It does mean a lot to us. I save all the cards, you know, and keep them. And on discouraging days, I pick them up and read what y'all say to us. So it keeps us encouraged and keeps us going. So I appreciate that. Something I want to tell y'all this morning. So I'm changing the subject. We're off that, okay? So we're on. I don't want y'all to think Ivan is flaky. This is totally me. The other morning I woke up, I was woke up in the night, and the Lord woke me up, and he said, well, how do you know it's the Lord? Well, I don't wake up at night. And so, and inside of my spirit, I felt like the Lord told me that I was supposed to cancel Ivan in December because he was only going to be here one day, and that we needed to do a revival, and we needed to have him in here for like a whole week. And so I thought, well, Lord, you know, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how it could possibly be pulled off because Ivan's dates are already booked a year in advance or 2 years in advance. And so I don't know how you'd make that work. So I said, I'm just going to pray about it and see what you have to say. So yesterday I get this phone call, and Ivan calls me, and he calls me a lot of times on Saturday just to make sure I'm still here and didn't run off. And so he said, I got some good news to tell you. He said, our kids got their visas. And then all of a sudden, I hear the phone, you know, and then so she gets in, and it's Kimberly, his wife, on the phone. She says, he can't tell it like that. That's, my gosh, that's ridiculous. And I said, well, Kim, tell me the story. He says, well, the kids went down to the passport agency to, the immigration to try to get visas to come to the United States. And so the first one goes in and just instantly is denied, sent out the door. So they were like, oh no, you know, and so the second one goes in, was instantly denied and walked out. And so then the other three that were standing there were like, you know, my gosh, this is horrible. What's going on? This is terrible. You know, we're not going to get our visas. And so, you know, the picture of the girl that we had up here, Gabby, that was all pretty dressed in the deal that did all that, it was her turn to go in. So she goes in, and before the lady slams a stamp down and says she can't, she says, ma'am, stop, can you just a minute. Can I tell you a testimony? And she said, well, what do you mean? And she said, I just want to tell you my life. And so she starts telling this lady who she is, where she was raised, on the streets, you know, all the horrors that happened in her life. And they came to Casa Angelina. Yeah, that's her. And came to Casa Angelina. She was put there at this orphanage, and now she's found Jesus, and she loves these people, and she wants to come to the United States to be with them and to see where they live, and just, you know, it's a temporary thing. They're not coming to the United States to run away. They're here just to be a part of the ministry. And the lady said to her, she said, these founders that in this orphanage, you know, do you ever even see them? And she said, what do you mean, do I see them? I live with them. They live with us here. We know them, and we want to, you know, we're a part of their lives. They're my parents. And the lady got so touched by what had happened that Suseli, the other girl, was over at another you know, in the same building but in another station, and the lady calls over there and says, look, that we've got to do something for these kids. And the other lady says, you know we can't give visas to teenagers. And she says, I know, but this is a special deal. And those two ladies talked for 30 minutes on the phone while they sat there. So the lady said, well, look, just a minute, I got to talk to this girl. So she starts talking to Suseli and said, tell me about this place you live in. So Suseli got to tell that lady her testimony and what went on and where she was and everything. So before long, the two ladies are crying. They said, we got to get these people visas. Tell those ones we denied to come back. We'll get them their visas. And so everything is done now. They have to go back Monday to get a few, but we got five of our students. So you got to understand, for me, you know, I have been down there for, you know, all these years, and I've brought y'all pictures, and we have dug in the ground, and there's been some of y'all that have gone with us, and you've helped build buildings, and you've helped build houses and buy couches and a TV and this and that and the other. And over the times that you've spent your dollars over all these years, you know, like 15 years we've been working. But now it's just such a blessing to myself and my wife to say, wow, here we've been working so hard, but now we have a grown-up child that came from the orphanage that's going to come here in this church and stand right behind this pulpit and be able to tell her testimony of what Jesus has done for her and what she's going to continue to do for Jesus. I mean, that means the world to me, because it's like we're seeing literally the manifestation growing of the first wave of all of our hard work, our prayers, our love that's been down there, that it's coming to pass, and these kids are going to rock the world. Amen? And so with saying that, when Ivan told me this, I said, man, dude, I'm first on the list. You know I am. He said, no, that's when we're calling. We just cancel the date in December and come the second week of January and bring the kids and all the family. And I said, well, great, because I was going to ask you if you could do a revival for us. We'd start on Sunday morning, do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, or Wednesday night, end it. And he said, absolutely, what we'll do is we'll come down. He said, I can't be with you that first Sunday, but I'll send the family. So we have Bethany and Andrew and their children, plus all of the college-age kids from the orphanage coming, plus Gavin, plus Kimberly are all coming. So we're going to have the whole Tate entourage here, plus the kids from those days. And so somebody will preach Sunday morning. We'll just carry the thing on. Ivan will come in Monday, but we've got the kids coming. So it's going to be a big deal. Amen? So put that on your calendar. What is the second? What did somebody tell me? 10th. So that should be the 10th of January. So anyway, Ivan's not flaky. It's me and the Lord changing me because I didn't get it right. Amen? So that's going to be some exciting times, which leads me to the message this morning. Okay, so get your Bibles out. And if you would, just hold your Bible. Just get it out and throw it open. Maybe some word will jump out there at you. Okay, I'm starting a new series this morning, and I'm going to preach this through till probably January. Because when the Lord was telling me that, he told me what to start preaching to you about. And I'm going to take my time. I'm not in a hurry, and so y'all don't be either. And I want to try to help you to grab hold of what I really believe the Lord wants to do in 2016. So the title of this message is called Swing Away. Now, you may have heard the term swing away. You know, the actual definition in the Webster's Dictionary says when a batter is instructed by the coach to swing hard at the ball instead of bunting when there are men on base. In other words, you're playing a baseball game and you're walking up and, you know, let's say the bases are loaded. It may make more sense for the person that's not a strong hitter to just bunt the ball and try to get one run in. But when there's a hitter that's coming up that's a strong hitter and he has confidence and the coach has confidence in him hitting the ball, the word would be swing away, which means stand up there and knock the fire out of it. And what the Lord told me to tell y'all is that some of you have been preparing for a long time in your Christian walk. You've been learning faith. You've been learning the word. You've been growing in the word. And now it's time for you to stand up to the mound and swing away. It's time to stop preparing, and it's time to start putting it all into action. It's time to start bringing things about and believing God for more, for calling more of heaven and earth to your need, calling more to believe God for more things. Folks, listen to me. I believe that if we get to heaven, and or when we get to heaven, and the Bible talks about that there'll be no more tears, I believe there's going to be a moment of shedding tears, and I believe the moment of shedding tears comes from the things that we didn't believe God for, that God would have done for us, but we struggled through ourselves, did it by our own strength and our own abilities, that we really didn't believe God. Because I don't know if y'all are like me, but there's sometimes I'm going to pray for people or pray for a situation, and sometimes I'm just like, it's more than I could imagine, even dream up of how God could make it happen. Y'all ever been there? You're going to pray for somebody, but they're just so far out there, you just want to say, man, God, how could you? I mean, I know you're God, and I know the things that you're doing, but this person is so anti you. How can you get them? Right? I mean, have y'all had those situations before? Or something's happening in your life, or something's coming upon you in life, and you're overwhelmed because you're trying to say, because you in your mind can't figure out how God could make it fall into place and make it happen. But I'm telling you, God is saying to you, it's time to believe me. It's time for you to swing away. It's time for you to step up to the plate and be believing God for financial increases so you can bless people, for better jobs, or your relationship with your spouses to be fixed, or whatever is going on in your life. It's time to swing away. It's time to say, God, you're God, and you're going to make it happen, and you're going to do it. Now, there's others of you in here this morning. You need to hear the second part of this, okay? Just go look at it, Proverbs 21:31. For others of you in here, you may not have been serving the Lord as long. You may not have understood how to get prepared. And this is the part for you. Proverbs 21:31 says, a familiar passage of Scripture, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Now, 30 years or more, I've read that scripture, seen that scripture, run across it, because it's in different places in the Bible, not just there in Proverbs. And this is the way I've always read it. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So, Lord, you're going to do the victory. So, it's just, you know, I just have to show up, because really, it's not by my works, not by my power or my might, you're going to do it. But the other morning when the Lord spoke to me, it just hit me completely different. And I mean, it just burned into my soul. It says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. I mean, it was so strong to me that means us, we have got the horse prepared. Listen, it didn't mean you were laying on the couch saying, okay, God, just do it. It meant you were preparing the horse. The horse was prepared for battle. The horse was not just fed so much oats that he's foundered out in the barn. Huh? The horse was in shape. The horse had been jumping fences. The horse had been prepared. He had been running. Because, you know, you got to understand something. A horse, just because a horse is a horse, doesn't mean that a horse doesn't have to be in shape. Do you know that? A horse that runs in any race, the Kentucky Derby, is a horse that has to be run and prepared. Horses, yeah, they're you know, majestic animals, and they have the ability to run, but a horse can only run so far. Just like you, if you're out of shape, you ain't going to run very far. You might look pretty for just a little bit. A horse is the same way. A horse has to be prepared, and you have to run. So it says the horse is prepared. Listen to me. That means the horse is ready. That means you're ready. That means your horse is saddled, that you got your rope on there, you got your gun scabbard on, you got your gun in the scabbard. Hello now? You know that the saddle fits. You've oiled the saddle. The horse is prepared, and the other word to the other part of you in here this morning, you've been prepared. Your horse is ready. It's time for you to swing away. And there's others of you this morning, you need to get hold of this message, because you need to get prepared. Listen, I am not a hoarder. I am not a prepper. But I want you to know I'm prepared. I'm prepared physically, and I'm prepared spiritually. I don't know what's coming down the road, but I want you to know something. I'm ready to face it. Are you? One way or another, I'm ready to face it. Whether it's just prayer that moves the mountain, or it's my 45, I'm ready. Listen to me. I read an article this morning, and just hear me. Let me finish saying all of this before you throw up, you know, walls and don't listen to me no more. Okay, I'm not a prejudiced person. All right? I think to look at a person, any whatever ethnicity they be, and say that that person is not as good as the next person because of how they were born is wrong. What can I say? I'm from German immigrants. I mean, German blood flows out of me. My grandparents spoke German in the house. Okay? We don't think anything about that. But I was reading an article this morning about a town in Michigan that now has such a growth of population of Muslim influence that the town now has gone, is a town of about 22,000, and they've gone majority of it is Muslim. I don't know what's wrong with me this morning. I can't talk. Is Muslim. I mean, there's more Muslims that live in the town. So there's five mosques, and so they've, at, you know, five times a day, they launch out the call of prayer, and it goes out over the airways and all like this. And I really have no problem as long as they are assimilating to be Americans. Because I got to look back at my own heritage, you know, six generations back when everybody was over in Dehennis eating Parisa and drinking beer and speaking German. Are y'all with me? And there could have been an English person have of English descent and rode by on his horse and said, look at these guys, because they're all playing, you know, Czech music and, you know, like I said, into their culture, all right? But then they assimilated into American culture. The point I'm trying to say here is I'm not arguing about religion, but I'm saying where are the Christians? What's going on with the Christian world? Are they shrieking and just shrinking down and shrieking back and not, you know, or are we still playing Amazing Grace from the steeples? Are we still ringing the church bells? Are we still got people going to church? Or are they getting cowered and pushed down? This whole message about swing away here is about one word, revival. And it's time that we have to have a revival in America again. And we have to have a revival of people hungry for the things of God. And not ashamed, not worried about political correctness, not worried about, oh, are we going to offend this person, that person? We are Christians. We believe in Jesus, and to be proud of it and to see revival come to our land again. Hello? So, I'm going to be speaking to you for this next 5 or 6 weeks about revival. We're going to go over it. We're going to look at it. We're going to tear it apart. We're going to dissect it. I want you to understand what revival is. How many of you in here, without me even saying any more about this, you would say, yes, I've been to a revival. Raise your hand. If you're a nice little Baptist person, God bless the Baptists. Baptists had a revival. So in your mind, you know, in your mind, revival means a tent. Huh? Come on, y'all help me here. Just quit looking at me like a cow going through a new gate. Revival means a tent. Revival means some different music, some different songs. Revival means an outdoor meeting in this tent. A revival means some fiery evangelist preaching, you know? Right? Revival means an altar call. Right? And y'all with me. But what I want to do is I want to tear down revival. I'm not talking about tear down. I want to break it apart and look at it, dissect it. Let's look at Let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the Bible and see what revival really means. And then let's start yearning and crying out for that in our hearts. Not another tradition, not another symbolism, not something that's just done once. Listen to me. If in your life you're loving Jesus and you're working out your marriage and you got a difference between each other and you find a place of forgiveness, I want to tell you something, and then your lives get good and everything is great, that's revival. Are you with me? That's the Spirit of God moving in your life and bringing about something. I don't want religion. Listen to me, I'm sick of religion. If y'all were going to tell me, look, Pastor, we just want you to come up here and preach, you know, just go 15 minutes and don't go any later and all that like that, I'm leaving. Because I'm just telling you, I don't want religion. Religion does nothing for nobody. I don't need to have a label. I don't need to label myself as I'm this denomination or that denomination or this and that and the other. Labels and all that kind of stuff, I don't care about that. I don't need a church attendance record. I don't need a letter. I don't need anything. I want to have a relationship with Jesus that is so alive that there is constant, constant, constant revival in my life. Are y'all with me? And if you don't have that relationship, I hope that these next few weeks I can get you to understand truly what revival is so you can yearn for it in your own life and have instance of reviving, the state of being revived. I always love how they do that. What kind of a silly person, what does revival mean? The state of being revived. I mean, how much did they pay that person to write that statement? Right? I mean, I had to have a PhD to write that statement down, so it got put in the Webster's. Yes, I wrote that statement. Well, oh, good gosh. So we get on the second one here. Renewed attention to or interest in something. Renewed attention to or interest in something. A new presentation of or a publication of something old. A period of renewed religious interest. Often, I love this. An often highly emotional evangelistic meeting or series of meetings. Religion got to Webster. A restoration of force. All right? But I want you to go now to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, and let's look at this. In order to have revival, okay, in order to truly have revival, there has to be something that died that has to be revived. So you had to have had something. A lot of times you're talking about in a revival, you're talking about you've grown cold to the things of God or become indifferent to the things or apathetic to the things of God, and now you're getting revived in your passion and your determination to serve the Lord. But it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm going to read a little bit here, 11 through 20. But it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Now, just think about that. Right here, when Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, he says the definition of being apathetic, the definition, the opposite of revival would be, you forgot the Lord, how? By not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. You with me? In other words, he's not number one. You're doing whatever you want to, then checking with him to see if it's okay. He says, at least when you've eaten and you're full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through this great and terrible wilderness, in which fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flint rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you and to do good in the end and say in your heart, my power and my might and my hand have gained me this wealth. I believe the problem with America today is just that statement. We've got nice houses. We're not having somebody's trying to kill me with a machete today. We're not having to fend for our lives, and we've got running water. We've got clean water. We've got, you know, heat. We've got food. And after a while, if you don't watch what you're doing, you can become apathetic, and then what happens is you just want a better house. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just telling you, then your yearnings and your longings are no longer for your relationship with the Lord, but your yearnings and your longings are for everything to be nicer and better and easier. How much easier do we have to have it? I mean, really, folks, listen to me. How much easier? We get so spoiled as Americans that we don't want to be inconvenienced in the slightest bit. Now we got a dadgum car that's supposed to drive us by itself. I mean, really, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'd like to see one of those things out here dodging deer left and right, huh? That ain't gonna work. We're never, they just forget it. They don't even know what we live like. Right? All I'm saying is we just keep getting, and that's what happens, and we've been blessed. America, listen to me, there's no nation on the face of the earth that has preached the gospel more than America. There is no nation on the face of the earth that has given more in this world than America. Don't listen to what's going on right now. Don't listen to what the politicians are saying. Don't listen to what our president is saying, because I want to tell you something. America has been the biggest giver, the biggest evangelizer, the biggest unbelievable blessing to the world that there has ever been on the face of the earth. And all that other stuff is a bunch of bunk and bull. All right? I'm just being nice. Because the truth of the matter is we have enjoyed an enormous amount of prosperity. Why? Because we're givers. The principle of the Word of God is give and it shall be given unto you. And America has been a giving nation, and America has prospered greatly. Right? But now we've prospered greatly. And then all of a sudden everything goes crazy and people start forgetting about the Lord, start forgetting about what He wants us to do and who He is and how He got this wealth. We need to take God out of public schools. We need to, it needs to be equal. We need to take God. Well, listen, you stupid, you better just get back and look at it, because the only way we got what we got, or otherwise we would still be fighting the Indians around here trying to keep our own scalps, because there was no way in the world it's going to work without God moving in the whole situation. And all I can say, folks, is you got to have some understanding, some reason. But what's happened now is we got to have a revival. We got to have people wake up and see that the only reason why we are where we are is because God got us here, and to start to be grateful to the one that got us here. Not, oh, God, we can't. Listen, I'm sorry. You can't come in here because you may offend someone else and it's not politically correct. We've got to have a revival, folks. We've got to be hungry for God. We've got to be Christians and proud of Christians. We've got to go into the highways and the byways, and let's just put our highways and byways where they are, the cafe and the convenience store, and not be afraid to pray over our food. Not just have a moment of silent prayer and close your eyes and do that, but to pray. So what's that going to do? Somebody around you is going to say, what are they doing? What is that? I mean, do we believe God? Listen to me. I'm telling you what. You know, my wife and I ate at a restaurant months ago, and she got sick, and nowhere around here. We were out of town. And she got sick and took her month ago. Man, I'm telling you what, you pray over your food. You better bless God to be praying nowadays. I mean, I'd be saying, oh, Lord, thank you for that. You better say, oh, God, if there's anything you're going to kill me, kill it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Get in there, oh, God. That's how I pray over my food when I'm eating at a restaurant. I don't care where it is. Lord, I don't know who touched it. I don't know what's going on, but in the name of Jesus, come on, Lord. I mean, I lay hands on it, you know. I don't want to get sick. And if she got sick, I'm like, Lord, God, help me, Jesus. We need revival. We need people to know, it not be strange and unusual. Well, I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable. Well, feel uncomfortable. Why should I feel uncomfortable? I mean, I don't want to hurt people's feelings or make them feel uncomfortable. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to just be the man of God that God called me to be and have revival in my life. But if it makes that person feel uncomfortable, then they're going to get over it. Right? You know how I laugh nowadays about anybody that's addicted to smoking? Because if there's any discrimination on the face of the earth, it's a smoker right now. They are banned, shunned, looked at, smoker! And everybody is so ridiculous throwing, secondhand smoke, oh my God! Just think they're going to smell a cigarette and have cancer and die before they get out the door. Shove them off out there, man. I mean, they're like scourges of the face of their lepers. And I actually feel sorry for them. I'm like, yeah, poor sucker. Man, they take you out there so far, birds don't even go out there where they make you smoke. Right? But I feel like that as a Christian sometimes, it's the same way with me. It's like, you're a Christian? Oh my God, sit over there, be quiet, do it. Well, revival in my life says, man, I love Jesus and he's done so much for me. He's my source, he's my answer, he's my everything. I want him. He's the one that provides and supplies everything I need in life. So why in the world would I not want him in the middle of everything? I'm sorry, man, we're going to take that cross off. It may offend somebody. What? The other day I was in a boot store and had a pair of high-top boots and it had a cross on them. And I thought if it wouldn't look so goofy, I'd wear my pants tucked in my boots with that big old cross on there. Saying, hey, what do you think about that, huh? The big Bowie knife in the side of her or something. In your face. He goes on here and says, you began to say as by my power and my might of my hand that you've gained this wealth, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he, listen, it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. It's God is the only thing that can, listen to me. If you'll hear this, you may not like it, but if you'll just hear this. You go to work, you work a 40-hour week, and you get paid at the end of the week, and there's your paycheck. You say, yeah, this is what I earned this week. No, that's actually what God gave you this week. If you change your attitude like that, you change your attitude like I said, Lord, it's all yours because you're my financier. I worked this week and Lord, it's you that gives me the power to make wealth. And so the power to make wealth was my ability to work and I worked and this is what I did and this is the job you gave me and this is the money I have and I honor you. Here it is, God, it's all yours. You start to get that revelation down inside of your heart, revivals come into your life. I didn't get too big an amen on that. All right. Then it shall be that if you will by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nation which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Folks, I'm just telling you, listen to me, there is a principle. I am not predicting the doom of America. I'm just telling you the principle is if you don't serve God, if you start pushing God out, you're going to perish. It's fact. This nation doesn't turn around on this election and get back to a nation that's known for serving God and doing what's right. This nation is going to perish. I don't even have to say that thus saith the Lord. I'm prophesying this. I'm just telling you, you can read the word and see it. It won't prosper. Are we going to not succeed or we're not going to have? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this nation, being the great nation that it's been, will not be anymore. All right. Now, go to another scripture here. Book of Isaiah, chapter 32. Isaiah 32, verse 9. Now, again, ladies, don't get offended about this. It's not speaking directly to ladies. It's just using the feminine form here. So don't say I picked this out. Get all huffy. Isaiah 32, verse 9, it says, rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech. In a year and some days, you will be troubled. you complacent women. For the vintage will fall, the gathering will not come. Trembling, you women will be at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones. Strip yourselves, make yourselves bare. Gird sackcloth on your waist. People shall mourn upon their breasts for the pleasant fields and the fruitful vine. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in a joyous city. Because the palaces will be forsaken. The bustling city will be deserted. The forts and the towers will become lairs forever. And a joy of wild donkeys, of pastures, of flocks. Until, everybody say until. Until the Spirit is poured out from us on high. See what, folks, revival is when the Spirit of God begins to pour out from me from on high and your heart begins to beat and throb for Him. But it can only beat and throb for Him if there once was a place that He beat and throbbed. It's been revived. Until the Spirit is poured out from us on high and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness and the righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Though hell comes from the forest, and the city is brought low in its humiliation, blessed are you who sow beside all waters, who send out freely the feet of the ox and the donkey. He said, look, things are bad until the Spirit of God is poured out upon the land. And when the Spirit of God's poured out upon the land, He says, then everything turns around and you dwell in peaceful habitations. How many of y'all want a peaceful habitation? How many of y'all want it when the hell's coming, it's not going to tear your house up? He says, man, I want you to be living in a place. But He said, the only time that place is blessed like that is when the Spirit of God is falling upon it and then righteousness is prevailing. That's what's got to happen to America. That's what can only happen if it starts in each and every one of our own homes. Now, I have like a bunch, 20-something things that I went through the Bible, and I'm not going to get into them all right now. I'm going to close. But 20 things that I picked out of the Bible right now, 20 or 22, that you can just write down, and then I want to go through each one of them in the days ahead. That revival, what revival looks like, okay? That I see in the Scriptures of what revival looks like. First one I see it looks like is there's crowds. In other words, you can't really say you have revival, true revival. You can have revival in your home, right? But if you're going to say, we're having a revival, there's got to be at least a crowd of people. There's got to be more interested in it than just you. Otherwise, you're just having a good home meeting. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, you can't really start shouting that we're having a revival until there's a crowd. Second one is there's joy. Joy always follows revival. Third is that there is hunger. There are people that are hungry for the things of God and willing to sacrifice no matter what. Fourth one is there's tears. Fifth one is there's conviction. Six, there's healing. Seven, there's supernatural events take place. Eight, there's giving, free giving. Nine, there's a team spirit. 10, there's revelation from the Word. 11, there's grace that is abounding. Now, those are the good ones. Let me show you the rest of the things that happened with revival. Number 11, there's religious people rise up. You think about this. In the day that Jesus, we'll say he was bringing about revival, John the Baptist was preaching to like 3 million people. He was having a revival. The land was getting changed. When Jesus started preaching, what was it always talks about? Crowds, right? There was huge crowds. Jesus is having revival. He brought revival, right? But also religious people showed up. Here you go. Here's one of in there, and it's a part of revival. Anger. Manipulation. So we think about revival. Said, oh, you said revival, everything's great in the land. You got to understand something. For me to preach this and me to say and know in my spirit, okay, God, you're going to bring about revival, I have to sit back and I have to weigh the cost because my family's going to catch the brunt of this. And I sit back and I think, wait a minute, oh my God. Can I just retire, Lord? Because get a young buck up there that doesn't have any better sense. Somebody that just ain't got no sense, Lord, that just is not going to see it coming because I can see it coming. Revival comes. People get in touch, saved, marriages put together, healed, blessed. Spirit of God's fallen. It's great. There was joy. There's great, all these great things. And there's going to be religious people come into our midst and want it to stop. There is going to be manipulation abounding and going on, and people trying to twist things around and abound things here to try to make it stop. There's going to be people that are going to be angry with me. See, listen to me, folks. You've got to understand something, okay? I'm not making this stuff up. For me to stand up here and preach the gospel, to go out on those airways and to go out there and tell everybody what I'm doing, and for me to do it like this, the devil wants to kill me. He hates my guts. He hates my guts. He hates my family's guts. I know this. I'm not scared of it. Greater is he that's in me than in the world, but he's got a lot of crazy people out there. A lot of people laugh at me because, you know, like I said, I'm prepared. I stay prepared. But I just want you to know there's crazy people out there. Why do you see all over the news crazy people going to churches and shoot people? Well, they're trying to get the work to stop. Well, listen to me. When revival starts, it's going to get worse. All right? And I have to look at this and say, this is what it's going to cost us. All right? I hadn't even got to some of the good ones here. Last one I said is manipulation. Do you realize that in the midst of revival, there's also a spirit of murder? Do you realize the religious people of the day took Jesus and they nailed him to the cross? They wanted to kill him. They got the crowd stirred up saying, kill him. Real spirit of love there. Real spirit of grace. Well, they're good guys. Standing around their long robes and the big crosses and saying, we need to kill him. It's the only thing we can do. There's a spirit of murder that comes along with the spirit of revival. Spirit of pride. Pride rises up when revival falls. A spirit of greed. It's exciting, isn't it? A spirit of competition. Jesus' own disciples sitting there arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Where'd that come from? Storms, false teachers rise up when revival comes. People looking at it saying, oh, we can make a buck on this thing. And the last one I have down here is, and I just like this word, mockers. There's always going to be mockers standing around. All throughout the scriptures, everywhere, revival's breaking out, and there's just people standing around mocking. Can you imagine? Like, folks, listen to me. Before I knew Jesus, you know, I was just your typical country boy, loved to drink beer, get in fights, go dancing, chase girls, just your typical standard cookie cutter country boy. And so you wouldn't have said that I was necessarily really a good boy, but you wouldn't have necessarily said I was a bad boy. I wasn't knocking over liquor stores and all this kind of stuff. But in my day, had they taken a man and crucified him, and this poor sucker was stuck up there with nails driven through his hands and his feet, and he's dying, horrible suffering up there, I don't think I would have stood there and said, yeah, if he's really the Son of God, let him come on down. I would have had to walk up to that person and say, man, dude, there is something wrong with you. You with me? I'm just saying the bad that my heart had in it, I would have never mocked Jesus dying on the cross. You got to be a sick, demented sucker to do something like that. To stand there over a dying man saying, yeah, well, that show you here. But folks, listen to me. I'm learning that I'm a pretty naive little country boy. Because the truth of the matter, in the world, there are people that will do that. In the world, there's people who have no value of life. In the world today, we have people who would just as take great pleasure in going in there and blowing themselves up and killing as many people as they can around them, and there is no reasoning with them. You see what I'm saying? It's a new world, folks. It's something that you didn't see when I was just a little country boy raised around here. Y'all with me? It's another world. It's another spirit. It's a spirit like I have never, ever even could imagine a person would do. I can see people doing horrible things in times of literal physical war where you're fighting for your life. But I have a hard time seeing just people trying to hurt other people like what's going on today. All I'm telling you is, this is also what rises up when revival rises up. Jesus said, if you're a wise person, you got to count the cost. And I'm just telling you here this morning, I'm going to be preaching on showing you all this for these next two. I'm going to show you, it's better to have revival. And let's just deal with this. Because I think, if true revival is falling here, and we're all walking in true revival, and there rises up an Ananias and Sapphira and drops dead when they lied to everybody about their offering, and we got to have the EMS every service backed up out here. Woo! We ain't going to have some kind of church, man, I'm telling you. We got to have now the usher crew with a stretcher to haul people out. I mean, I guarantee if you're in here, you'll be a diehard. You'll be coming to the wall, oh, Jesus, I love you, love you, love you. I praise you, Jesus, or whatever. Yeah, you want someone here, whatever you got, whatever. Take it, oh my God, take it. Don't want to die. Don't want to make it through church so they don't die here, Jesus, oh God. Walk in with your pockets turned inside out, you know. Got nothing. I'm bare before the Lord. But on the same hand, don't you remember what it said? It said that prosperity was falling upon that house. And in that house, there was righteousness, and there was peace, and there was joy, and there was all these glory, glory, hallelujah things happening. And I'm just telling you, that's what I'm for. Amen? And I want to see us come to that place, but I think we have to really get our mindset on to understand what it truly is, revival. Because it's not just a 1 week in a tent out here with the special music and everything playing and us having some altar calls. That's not revival. That's just a good meeting, but that's not revival. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, wow. And stand to your feet. Let me have my prayer team come down. I just want you to know we're here to pray for you. If anybody's in here and you've got anything going on, you want prayer, we'll pray with you. We'll stand in agreement with you. And I just want you to know, anybody that's listening or watching out there today, man, we love you. We're praying for you. I know that revival is coming. If you want revival in your heart, right there in your car, wherever you are, you just cry out to Jesus, and Jesus will come into your life, and you'll see some great and mighty things happen. But church, here this morning, I just want you to know, I believe with all of my heart that God has good things for you. Today's a day not to draw back. Today's a day to go forward. Amen? And to want to have the things of God in your life and to have your own revival working and flowing. Amen? So take the person's hand beside you. I'm gonna pray over you, and then I'm going to go ahead and dismiss this service and bless the food. So we've got food over there now, and you can go and enjoy dinner on the grounds and be blessed and have a great day and to fellowship with one another. I encourage you today, make a new friend. You know, go make a new friend. And I also encourage you, be nice. Don't be yourself. Be nice today. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just declare, Lord, that this church is going to be a church that's going to seek after you and is going to follow you. And you're going to bring in people from the north, the south, the east, and the west who want to serve you, who want revival in their lives. Lord, I thank you that all the murderers and the manipulators and the people, angry people and all the other things that go on in life, Lord God, that follow revival, Lord, they can just check it at the door. And we don't need it. We don't want it. We ain't messing with it. Lord, we're going to serve you. We're going to serve you all the days of our life. And Lord, you're going to bless these people. I declare, Lord, the greatest joy of our lives is to serve you and to walk with you. So today, Lord, I thank you that as we share a meal together, Lord, as we share our time together, as the church honors us this day and for pastor's appreciation, I just thank you for them. Lord, I ask you to bless them, to bless their lives, to bless this church. And Lord, that everything that they do and every place that they go, Lord, they'll bring forth your spirit and bring forth revival in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.